Greetings, everyone. It's good to have an opportunity to be able to talk to you again, and I hope the week finds you well. Are you tired? I'm tired. It seems that too often as of late, I just want to crawl into bed and pull the covers over my head, you know? Maybe just take a nap. A really long nap. Kind of a wake me when the kingdom's here kind of nap, you know, right? You know, there's just so much going on in this crazy world right now. So much that overwhelms us. So we look out and we're going, what is going on out there? There is mass insanity, it seems. And we have our own lives to deal with, work, school, whatever we can do during this time. And it seems that with all these things going on, as time goes by, we're getting increasingly run down. You know, there are more and more things in our lives that demand our attention, you know, more and more distractions, more and more disturbances, especially as of recent. And it's pulling us down. We're getting overloaded, it seems. And yeah, we get tired. We get tired. But that's actually not the kind of tired I want to talk about here. What I'm asking is, are you tired? Are you tired? There's so many things to fight, you know, so many insane things going on around us, as I said. And with everything going on and all the battles that we're fighting each day, it can sometimes seem like we're surrounded, you know? There's the world fighting us with its ways and the things that are going on, the distractions. There's Satan fighting us that we deal with on a constant basis. And then we even fight ourselves, you know, our own human nature. You know, we're fighting a war on three fronts. And it's not encouraging when you think about it. It can wear us down and it can tire us. So I ask, are you tired spiritually? Are you spiritually tired? Do you feel like you just want to throw in the towel sometimes? Just take a break and say, I need a break from this today, and I'll fight later. Are you that kind of tired? The title of my message today is, Don't Just Endure, but Endure. Now, what do I mean by that? What does that guy mean by that? Well, in Matthew 10 and verse 22, Jesus Christ tells the disciples there that he's talking to, he says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Now, what is being said here? Is it the goal just simply to endure, you know, the time, endure the moment, endure the day? You know, what should endurance mean to us is what I'm ultimately asking. How does it apply to us? Well, Merriam-Webster's dictionary offers, at least the one I looked at, offered four different meanings for endure or endurance. The first would be to undergo as like in a hardship, especially without giving in. Or to suffer, as in he endured great pain. And again, that would be without giving in. Meaning number two, according to the dictionary, could be to regard with acceptance or tolerance. It's like, I could not endure the news today, would be a kind of a negative, a not example of that. Number three would be to continue in the same state. To go on being in the same state that you're in, for example. And in a way, this kind of applies to God, just as a little aside with this. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 34, I'll just refer to it, but this is a good thing in terms of God, where it is written, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. And that is mentioned many times in the Old Testament. You know, God's mercy and his goodness and truth, his righteousness, they continue in the same state. They endure forever. The translators added that word endure. You'll notice it's in italics. But it's to bring forth the flavor of the sentence, of course, the meaning of it. It goes on forever. It is always this way. It endures forever. Now, sometimes it seems like our trials and our tribulations and our sufferings, and this virus that's going on right now, seems like they endure forever, don't they? But I think we know, we really know, as James told us, we're to learn from these things. We're to learn from our trials and our sufferings. And sometimes it takes a while, doesn't it? It takes a really long time for me sometimes. It takes endurance. It takes that steadfastness. You know, God knows in every circumstance there's something for us to learn in all these things that happen. That's, of course, why he allows them. They're for our benefit, for our education. You know, whether in our own trial or in witnessing the trial of another, there's always something we can and need to learn. Anyway, number four would be to remain firm under suffering or misfortune without yielding. And an example they give is, though it is difficult, we must endure. That kind of speaks to our lives a little bit, actually, doesn't it? Our spiritual lives. You know, there are several words in the Greek for endure or endurance. There are at least eight. And that, of course, could be a study in itself. But I want to spend some time looking at how some of this concerns us, especially perhaps in the first and the fourth meaning that I gave. Let's go ahead and begin in Galatians 6. Let's turn to Galatians 6 and verse 9. Galatians 6 and verse 9. This is what we might consider what they call a conditional statement, or perhaps an if-then statement. Those of us that are old enough to remember, this was used in programming, in the basic programming language. If this condition is true, then provide this result, or do X, whatever X is. And of course the converse would be true of that too. If this is false, then X. So either way, it's an if this, then that statement. And this is what we find in Galatians 6 and verse 9. Galatians 6 and verse 9, kind of breaking into the thought here a little bit. He's talking about, let's just go ahead and read it for a little bit of context. Start in verse 7. Go up to verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You know, we know that God knows what's in our hearts. The actions that we do, the things that we bring forth out of our labors, whether they be good or evil, God knows if we're driven to produce to our own pleasures or to the benefit of another. You know, he knows these things, obviously. Verse 8, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Again, you know, kind of what we just talked about. Now, verse 9, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If we patiently continue in doing good, in doing valuable or virtuous doing, as the word good is rendered in the Greek there, if we are going forward in the process of overcoming, then we will see the reward for our efforts. It is promised here. You know, we know God's word is good. If it's here, it's real and it's true, and it will happen. You know, I think we know that our Christian life, our spiritual walk, is not a cakewalk. It's hard work. It's active. It's doing. It's not a spectator sport where we can just sit on the couch and watch everything go by. It's a drama of endurance. And like the stories of mountain climbers that we might read, marathon runners, survivors of cancer or other serious health conditions, and, of course, heroes of faith. Now, last Sabbath, Mr. Kinsella asked us to consider the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 in terms of the changes they faced and how they dealt with them. And it took great endurance for many of them to see the success that they were working toward. And we are often in the same position. Endurance is, or endurance constitutes, a journey that lasts our whole lives. And this journey begins with a goal. What is our goal? What are we shooting for? You know, it starts with a calling and works toward a goal, our lives do. Philippians 3, and we'll start in verse 12, read through verse 14. Philippians 3 and verse 12, and this is Paul talking, of course. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now note the action here. There is doing everywhere, pressing on, laying hold of, reaching forward, and also forgetting what is behind, learning the lessons, throwing off that anchor and not taking it with you, moving forward. Effort is being expended. And that prize, that goal, is also described as citizenship in heaven in verse 20. Drop down to verses 20 and 21. Philippians 3 and verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven. You know, we're strangers and pilgrims on the earth, where our heart, our spiritual heart needs to be and will be, is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. We become like our Father in heaven and his Son Jesus Christ, spirit beings, if we run the race, if we actively endure and finish the race. We will win the prize, the gift of eternal life. Those two words, eternal life, they're words. But if you think about them at all, considering all that is told us in God's Word, that's mind-blowing. That is mind-blowing. Eternal life, living forever with God and Jesus Christ. What an incredible blessing. What an incredible prize. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25 tells us, I'll just refer for your notes there, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate, you know, discipline, self-restrained in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. And again, that word crown there is inserted by the translators, but it's depicting a prize, you know, a goal, something that we can attain. So what is this crown? What is this prize, so to speak? 1 Peter 5 and verse 4 calls it the crown of glory that does not fade away. And Revelation 2 and verse 10 calls it the crown of life. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, we'll read verses 3 and 4. First Peter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, this isn't just any prize. I think we know that. I'm sure we know that. It's not just a crown or prize winning. You know, we're shooting for the ultimate prize, eternal life. Again, a place in the kingdom of God to rule with God and to be part of his family. There's no worthier goal. This is the purpose of our endurance, our hard, steady, onward, forward endurance. Enduring this world, enduring the pains that we go through, enduring the evil that surrounds and occasionally confronts us. We must have this goal solidly and firmly fixed on our minds and hearts, as this will determine where we go and what we will do in our lives and how we walk our Christian life. Will we walk it with endurance, or will we back off? Endurance is also persistence, perseverance, determination, and a willingness to continue even if we're tired or weak. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17. 2 Corinthians 4, yes, 4 verse 16. Oh, no wonder. I'm looking down here, and I'm about three chapters off. That will never do. So, we plow forward with endurance to chapter 4 and verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, we've heard about this recently. Comparatively speaking, what we endure now is relatively light. It's only a small burden, even if it doesn't feel like it. Even if it takes all of our effort just to hang on, it is but a small burden. And what this tells me is that weighed against our light, small burden, our reward, our prize, will be great indeed. You know, does it seem hard sometimes to consider that the ultimate prize we fight for, you know, that we race for, to consider that prize? Does it seem hard to us sometimes? It does at times to my physical mind. But the physical mind thinks of physical things, physical pains, physical sufferings. And the physical part of us knows that endurance, active endurance, especially in the face of adversity, takes work. You know, there's a nasty word, work. Ooh. Doesn't even taste good when I say it sometimes. Work. Anyway, we must remember that spiritual, too, that is part of us for those who are called, those who have been baptized. That spirit's a part of us. And that is what allows us and gives us the power to succeed in enduring these things. It is the turbocharging that we need, if you will, if we allow it to work in us. We have a choice to make. We have to allow that. We have to want to succeed. We have to want to endure actively, no matter what we face. We have to want to plow through the adversity as need be. With God and Jesus Christ as our partners, we will succeed. If we continue, if we persevere, if we endure. We have to choose this. If we are to endure to the point of overcoming ourselves, our adversary, and this world. You know, we're only given a small glimpse at what our spiritual future holds. But if we remember the enormous price that was paid to make that prize available to us, that prize is so great that it was worth the excruciating sacrifice that God and His Son made so that we would indeed have that prize to fight for. We got to hang in there when things get tough. We must endure. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast without wavering. With steadfast endurance, if you will. Again, think about what we said on Galatians 6 and verse 9 when we read it back there. We shall reap if we do not lose heart, if we put our faith and trust in the one who promised. Skip down to verse 35, please. Hebrews 10 and verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now note verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You know, God tests our mettle, doesn't he? To see what we're made of. To test our commitment to him. When we're baptized and receive God's Spirit, we agree to a lifelong commitment to overcome, to endure all that comes at us. We count at the cost, right? It's guaranteed that from time to time, God is going to test us on this. And many of us have been tested and continue to be tested to see if our hearts and our word are true. That commitment that we made with God, we are still keeping. We are still working toward. You know, God tested Abraham with Isaac to see how Abraham would deal with the situation. And he endured just to the point where God had to stop him or he would have taken his son's life. He endured the difficulty. The agony of his heart. He knew that God had another way, and he had faith in that. He was able to endure that trial. You know, speaking of someone else who was tested and had to persevere. Well, let's go to James. I want to go to James 5 and verse 11. Many of the apostles did face various trials in their lives, and they had many things they had to endure as well. But yes, speaking of one who had to endure and had to persevere, James 5 and verse 11. Breaking into what James is talking about here, indeed we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job, the perseverance, the hupomone, that Greek word, patient continuance, you know, enduring. You have heard of the perseverance, the enduring of Job, and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Doesn't God always save us out of a trial? Even if that trial is physical death, because we will be raised new to a wonderful and perfect and beautiful spiritual body and have that spiritual life. God always saves us out of trials in his timing. But until then, we endure. Active endurance. Working, moving forward. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. I'm just going to read these in the interest of time. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Verse 25, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, you know, disciplined in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. You know, we build endurance and perseverance through self-discipline, through practice, through exercise, living God's principles. We build that strength. And not all endurance is dramatic. Sometimes it is a day-to-day grind. You are slogging through a day. And this can wear us down and out over time if we allow it. But we need to seek our strength. We need to seek our turbocharging each day. Seek God. We need to run the race with determination, persistence, and endurance. And finally, endurance is also a sacrifice, a willingness to take lumps along the way to fight for our goal. We have to put our whole being into it, and we're going to take some blows. Paul, in exhorting Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3, 2 Timothy 2 and verses 3 and 4, and this speaks to us as well. This speaks to us as disciples of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." You know, this applies to us as well, like I said. Sometime during our mortal lives, we of God's people will endure trial and suffering. Many of us, again, already have. You know, in the military, recruits go through boot camp, and it's led by a drill instructor, a DI, to train them by trial and difficulty so that they will be able to stand and fight when the day comes, that they will know what to do, how to comport themselves, good offense, good defense, that they know these things and they're equipped for the fight. Brethren, in this life we live now, day in and day out, this life is our boot camp. We endure the rigors of life now, trials, difficulties and all, to teach us, to prepare us, and to make us sure for the bigger and larger fights ahead, that we may win the fight, win the day, and enter into true life in the kingdom and family of God and beyond. So how do we fight? How do we arm ourselves? The principles are encoded in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, the armor of God. Please go over those. Read those again. They're familiar to many of us, I know. But take a look at what is necessary in order to endure to the end. We need to be equipped. You know, when a train has trouble, you knew I'd get trains in there somewhere, right? When a train has trouble getting up a grade or a steep mountain incline, you know, to the point where it stalls even, they have more power. And when we have trouble with something in our lives, we have to do the same. We have to add more power. You know, if there isn't enough power, there's going to be a stall. And if a train stalls on a mountain grade, that is really bad because there's a danger of it rolling back the way it came. And that can be disastrous. Well, we don't want that to happen to us either, do we? We don't want to stall. We don't want to roll backwards. We don't want to have a serious crash at the bottom of the hill. God doesn't like stalling. He doesn't like stalling because it leads to backsliding. As we saw back in Hebrews 10 and verse 28, God does not like that. When this happens, we need to act. You know, we need to call for help too. We need to add power. And as we see in verse 18 of Ephesians 6, when you go back and look at that, you know, we can pray for help our engines too, get us shoved over the mountain. Because as we live our lives, you know, the tracks aren't always going to be flat and level. I think we've seen that in our lives. We'll encounter grades, stiff curves, and we can't afford to stall, brethren. We must endure, and we must persevere actively, always moving forward. You know, David, King David, also admonished in times of distress the need for spiritual enrichment and strength. He said in Psalm 27 and verse 14, I'll just go ahead and read it for you. He tells us, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Go to him. Seek his help. Wait patiently for his miraculous intervention in your trial, in your life, whatever that might be. He will be there for you. We know that. If we call out to him, he will give us the means to endure. And you know, good, wholesome fruit comes from the efforts of patient, steadfast endurance, working together with God to be strengthened, to be strong in the Lord. Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount makes a statement about how the good things that are produced in our lives, spiritually and physically, have to endure. They must endure. In Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, again, for sake of time, I will just refer you to those, but please read those, look those up. It's about the house that was built on the rock and the sand, which one stood when the wind came, the storms, the rain descended. Which house stood? You know, we have to look at our lives and examine ourselves, examine our works and ask ourselves, will our work endure? You know, where and how have we set our apple cart? You know, have we set it on good, firm ground? Do we even know where it is? Will we fill it full of good, ripe, tasty apples? Will it stay filled or will it fall over? Will we allow someone else to knock over our apple cart? You know, part of endurance is having to start over at times. You know, if your apple cart falls or if somebody knocks it over, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. You know, if you got to fix the cart before it'll stand again, spiritually speaking, do it. Get it done. If you have to pick it up and refill your apple cart 70 times 7, do it. Keep on fighting the good fight. And always ask God for help, because, frankly, looking at all that picking up and knocking over just kind of gives me a backache just thinking about that. We can't do it without him. We can't do it without him. But seriously, will our good fruits that have been grown remain? Will they remain and be at work in our lives continuously? Will they endure? Will they endure? Brethren, our Christian walk is all about endurance. You know, we're literally in a fight for our spiritual lives. We know that. But armed with the Spirit and the armor and the sword of God, we can fight with strength and confidence. We can endure and we can overcome. You know, a couple Sabbaths ago, June 27th, I believe, Mr. Light spoke to us about our paramount need to overcome, to become those fruits that God is seeking. And great is the reward to those who overcome. Jesus Christ said in Revelation 22 and verse 12, Revelation 22 and verse 12, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work." What reward will we receive? You know, we must be about our Father's business, not just simply wait it out, sit on the couch and see what happens. Again, endurance is about action. It's about motion. You know, Mr. Light said in a sermon a while back that we have to move the ball. We can't just leave the ball sit. We have to do something with it. Do something with our spiritual lives. We can't stay stationary. We can't just sit on the fence and say, let it come. I'm in a good place. Inevitably, you're going to get knocked off of your good place if that happens. Endurance is not just burying our talent when the going gets tough. To do so is to commit spiritual suicide. We must move forward. To he that endures, you know, we must fight. We must win the battle. We must make it to the top of the hill, the top of the mountain, to the finish line, to the top of the apple cart. We must overcome this world, our adversary, and our own human nature. Christ did. He won. He set the example for us. John 16, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. in the world, you will have tribulation. There will be need of endurance, struggling, fighting to come out of sin, pain, suffering, persecution, that tribulation that he speaks of. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And as he did, we can too. 1 John 5, verses 1 through 4. 1 John 5, verses 1 through 4. I'm going a little bit long here, I apologize. We're almost done. 1 John 5 and verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. How incredibly beautiful and encouraging. It's all true for us. If we choose not to let this present evil age consume us and wear us down to where we backslide, we stall, we don't do anything, we sit on the couch. You know, all that stuff we see in the world right now, the racial tensions and the other tensions going on, the divisions, the politics, the strife, the violence, disease, and chaos in various places, along with all the other temptations that Satan's world offers, we can overcome that if we put active endurance to work. The highest mountain we'll ever climb, the longest race we'll ever run, is the one to overcoming this world, the race to the kingdom of God. But we are assured it can be done. Jesus Christ set the example and made the way. What we endure now is temporary. Very short in God's reckoning of time. Just think of what awaits us. You know, a world, a life, very different from what we see now around us. You know, we've talked quite a bit about that, especially those who have been in the church for many years. You know, we rehearse a lot of that at the Feast of Tabernacles. That's just the beginning. Just the beginning. So, brethren, let us all endure to the end, actively moving forward, overcoming, focus on the goal, that prize, and we will finish the race. We will reach the goal, and we will receive the reward. Life with God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, in peace, free of suffering, in safety, in love, and all eternity. Oh, and make sure all of your apples are in your cart, too.